"I'm sorry," he said under his breath, "but I have the welfare of my client to consider." He wound the tape back a very short distance to just before where the voice began, twisted the record level knob to zero, and pressed record. He left the tape to run, wiping off the voice and anything that might follow. If the tape was going to establish the time of Gordon Way's death, then Dirk didn't want any embarrassing examples of Gordon speaking to turn up on the tape after that point, even if it was only to confirm that he was in fact dead. There seemed to be a great eruption of emotion in the air near to him. A wave of something surged through the room, causing the furniture to flutter in its wake. Dirk watched where it seemed to go, towards a shelf near the door on which, he suddenly realised, stood Richard's own telephone answering machine. The machine started to jiggle fitfully where it sat, but then sat still as Dirk approached it. Dirk reached out slowly and calmly pushed the button which set the machine to answer. The disturbance in the air then passed back through the room to Richard's long desk, where two old-fashioned rotary dial telephones nestled among the piles of paper and micro floppy disks. Dirk guessed what would happen, but elected to watch rather than to intervene. One of the telephone receivers toppled off its cradle. Dirk could hear the dialing tone. Then, slowly and with obvious difficulty, the dial began to turn. It turned unevenly round, further round, slower and slower, and then suddenly slipped back. There was a moment's pause. Then the receiver rests went down and up again to get a new dialing tone. The dial began to turn again, but creaking even more fitfully than the last time. Again it slipped back. There was a longer pause this time, and then the entire process was repeated once more. When the dial slipped back a third time, there was a sudden explosion of fury. The whole phone leapt into the air and hurtled across the room. The receiver cord wrapped itself around an anglepoise lamp on the way and brought it crashing down in a tangle of cables, coffee cups and floppy disks. A pile of books erupted off the desk and onto the floor. The figure of Sergeant Gilkes stood stony-faced in the doorway. "I'm going to come in again," he said, "and when I do, I don't want to see anything of that kind going on whatsoever. Is that understood?" He turned and disappeared. Dirk leapt for the cassette player and hit the rewind button. Then he turned and hissed at the empty air, "I don't know who you are, but I can guess. If you want my help, don't you ever embarrass me like that again." A few moments later, Gilkes walked in again. "Oh, there you are," he said. He surveyed the wreckage with an even gaze. "I'll pretend I can't see any of this, so I won't have to ask any questions, the answers to which would, I know, only irritate me." Dirk glowered. In the moment or two of silence that followed, a slight ticking whir could be heard, which caused the sergeant to look sharply at the cassette player. "What's that tape doing?" "Rewinding." "Give it to me,"